thank all of you for being so helpful at lunchtime and getting over to the hall. The staff appreciates it, and it went so much better today. Thank you very much. You know, it's such a blessing to be a chairman. You have the privilege of introducing such wonderful brethren. This morning, Brother Larry and Brother Obie, and now Brother Ken Furnetz. I go back a long way with Brother Ken. I remember when he first came to the Dawn, and very appreciative of him and his work in Carmes at that time, and now they've gone back to the Dawn for a number of years now, so the gospel message can go out, and I know how much we appreciate their work and their labor of love, and now we have him here with us. We are very happy to have you with us, Brother Ken, and he's going to speak this afternoon on the subject, Praise the Lord, O My Soul. Brother Ken.
Thank you, Brother Bob, and thank you, Brother Rice, for the wonderful prayer. I know, you're all tired. Now, who would like to make a motion we have a siesta for an hour? Is there a second? It's been a lovely lunch hour. We enjoyed the fellowship. I'd like to bring to you the Christian loving greetings of the brethren in New York, the class of New York. I'll bring half of the greetings, and the other half will be brought by Brother Bob Gorecki. We bring you the Christian loving greetings from Brother Sid Jones from Winnipeg, Canada. Carlton Chandler wanted to be remembered to you all here, and his dear wife, Brother and Sister Homer Montag, the Balcos. They want to be remembered to you here, as well as the brethren from Canada, the Karutskis from central part of Canada, from Saskatchewan. And then we have brethren from the other adjacent to it. You have the Stutsky family. You have the Sivak family. They all wanted to be remembered to the Los Angeles Convention here. Plus Tammy and Tom Kinsey. They wanted to be remembered to you. Special greetings to you from Tom and Tammy. We have greetings also from the Philippines, from the brother in the Philippines, from the brethren there. They wanted to be remembered to you. We have greetings also from brethren from India, as well as other parts of Africa and South America. We have greetings from Michael Schilling. We have greetings from Alan Ellers and Donna Ellers from Boise, Idaho, as well as greetings from the convention that was held in Boise. Also the greetings that we've had in Agawam, Massachusetts, from their convention extended to you here in Los Angeles. So we have these greetings brought to you, and these brethren all love you, and that's why they wanted to be remembered to you. Praise the Lord, O my soul. We can certainly say we can praise the Lord for everything He has done. Not only just the past couple of days, but we look back in our history, in our time, as we fellowship during the lunch hour, some of the brethren that were responsible for so much of the gospel work that went on years back. And so we like to refer to Psalms 103. We're not going to read all the scriptures. There's quite a bit to read, the entire chapter. But we're going to pick some of the words from there. And so the psalmist David says this. And the King James says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemed thy life from destruction, who crownest thee with loving kindness and with tender mercies. He satisfies you with his grace. Thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He had not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the human, as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that reverence him. So far as he removeth our transgressions, as far as the east is from the west, from us. Like as a father pitied his children, so the Lord pitieth them that reverence him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembered that we are dust. Bless the Lord, O my soul. In many of the other texts, the word soul here is translated praise. Bless the Lord, O my soul, is translated praise. And when God is the object, the word praise in today's language is possibly a better choice to use. And so, praise the Lord, O my soul, and from my heart, praise his holy name. This is a psalm of praise to the Lord, to God. Praise in thankfulness, acknowledgement of blessings received from his beautiful, bountiful hand. We have received so much of it from him. We have so much to cause to praise his name. We praise him for all his benefits, all his favors, for his forgiveness of all our iniquities. And this is mentioned in the first, because without the merit of Christ being applied, we would still be in trespass and sin. But through him, through his blood, the disease of death is healed. That is so true. We praise him for all his wonderful plan of redemption. And we hear it so many times during testimony meetings. We praise him for his loving kindness and tender mercy. Yes, he is slow to anger, even though we may give him a cause, but we still praise him for our daily strength. The lessons presented to us last night gives us so much to think about. Every time we wake up in the morning, we give the Lord thanks for being alive, that we still have life. He still holds us close to thee. And so, as it says in the scripture, as an eagle, our strength is renewed. As far as the east is from the west, so has he removed our transgressions from us, so that Adam's transgression under which we were born can no longer affect our relationship with him through Jesus Christ our Lord. Like as the Father has compassion, so the Heavenly Father has compassion for us. As the scripture says, he knows our frame. He ought to know our frame because, after all, he made it. He knows it will not take much stress and strain. He knows that we are made of dust, yes. But we still serve him. We serve him in sincerity and truth. And we will show our love to him. But there's something else here. We know that he has compassion towards us. And you know why he has compassion towards us? It's because he loves us. Yes, we love the Lord. But in this lesson, it shows us that God has so much more love for us than what love we show for him. We love him. So in this lesson, brethren, we'll endeavor to emphasize not only our love for God, but the fact is that God's love for us, for you and for me, is so much different. If there is one reason above all others as to why we shall gain everlasting life, it is the love, the comfort, the encouragement that we receive from our Heavenly Father. I like the way Apostle Peter speaks of us, who are kept by the power of God through faith into salvation. Your experience, my experiences are varied. They have to be. And the reason is because for our spiritual development. There are times that we are on the mountaintop. Don't you feel that way? You're on a mountaintop? You have been here for 2 days. You've been in this banquet of God's for 2 days. All things seem to flow smoothly and lightly. Everything sails along as a song. That's the way we feel about it, don't we? Even our brethren seem to understand the true motives that directs our life, our consecrated life. And then again, we hear from our dear brethren, there are times when our path leads down to a valley. Sometimes it's deep into the valley of tears. That's true. Sometimes the very bottom of the valley. And you know, there's a scripture in Psalms 23 where it talks about the valley of death. That actually it's the valley of the shadow of extreme darkness is the right translation of that. And that's so true. It happens. And the peculiar thing is that we need the love of God. No matter where we are, if it's on a mountaintop or these bitter experiences that we may have, at all points our faith are being tested. It's tested to see if we are able to say, "Praise the Lord, O my soul." It may be just as many as have left the love of God through material success that has happened, as have through material failure. And that's why he refers to us as a frame which is dust. It doesn't stand strain, and so we need the love of God. And we need his keeping power to supply us with strength and help for every time of need. One of the things we find, the Lord loves those that reverence him, that fear him. We have a better word. The Lord loves those that reverence him. And I like that. But in looking up this word in the original Hebrew, I find that it also means worship. I like that too. The Lord loves those who worship him. Try it on for your own pleasure. Whenever you have a text with the word fear in it, try using the word worship. And you'll enjoy it. That is, if the word is from the proper root word, for instance, like Psalms 33:8, it says, "Let the earth fear." No, "Let the earth worship the Lord." That sounds better. And also Psalm 67:7, "God shall bless us with all the ends of the earth because we're going to worship him." Psalms 102, verse 15, "So let the heathen shall worship the name of the Lord." This is not my lesson today, but I think it's a point of interest. Because the true worshiper of God in this day of salvation that we're living in is the one who has consecrated his or her life to God. And we need the love of God. Why? Because we are right now on a trial for life and death. We're on trial for everlasting life. Is what it is. And we need God's guidance each day of our lives. We're all aware of our first trial. We're all condemned in Adam as in Adam all die. But our Lord Jesus filed a motion for a new trial. By his own death on Calvary, and he gained the right to offer to every one of his Adam's children a new trial for life. And so in Christ shall all be made alive. And we are those who reverence God, who reverence and worship him. We are the ones who have consecrated ourselves to him. And so we are now on trial for eternal life. It is a full and fair trial, but we must keep ourselves in the love of God. That is, we must keep in the boundaries where the love of God can reach us. If we're outside of the boundary where God cannot reach us, then we have a problem. And so we want to stay within the boundaries where God can reach us. And he will help us to continue in the protection of his love. And that was what Jude is saying in verse 20 and 21. But beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit, Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto everlasting life. I'd like to read a scripture from Ephesians, the third chapter. And this is started with verse 14. When I think of the wisdom and scope of his plan, I fall down on my knees and pray to the Father of all the great family of God, some of them up in heaven and some down on the earth, that out of his glory's unlimited resources, he will give you the mighty inner strengthening of his Holy Spirit. And I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts, living within you as you trust in him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's merciless love, and may you be able to feel and understand with all God's children how long, how wide, how deep, and how high his love really is, and to experience this love for yourselves. It is so great that you will never seek the end of it or fully know and understand it. And so, brethren, we want to be completely filled with God himself. These are the verses that contain more than my whole lesson really is. Here again we are told, brethren, that our appreciation of our Father's love for us is dependent upon our faith and our consecration, that he might dwell in our hearts. We want to be rooted and grounded in God's love for us, that we may be able to grasp and understand how great that love really is, how long it is, the length of his love. It reaches throughout the ages. How wide it is, the breadth of his love. It is worldwide, includes all creatures. How deep it is, the depth of his love. It reaches down to you and to me. You know, I hate to say this, but it even reaches 6 feet underground because of the resurrection of the dead. And how high is it? The height of his love, it reaches not only to the heavenly host, but it reaches above and beyond the penetration of human selfishness and self-seeking. May we have an appreciation of the love, the breadth, the depth, and the length of his love for us. And so, brethren, when we leave this convention, we want to take these lessons that we've heard the past 2 days. We want to understand real fully. He is our Heavenly Father. And as a Father, he is more interested in our welfare than we ourselves know how to be. Every human father knows that is true, even that is, though it is hard for us sometimes to understand. But our Heavenly Father knows the price of the high calling, the price of it, and what it means. Yes, glory, honor, and immortality. He knows that. After all, he created it. But better than what we know. He knows, he appreciates, and he knows far better than we do. And so, like as a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who truly worship him. And that's what the lesson is about. We give thanks to the Heavenly Father for his love for us. Sometimes, brethren, yes, we may feel that even the Lord has forgotten us. But our Lord replies to that is this in Isaiah 49 and verse 15 and 16. And he says to you and to me, can a woman forget a suckling child? Should not she have compassion on the son of her womb? Yet they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have given thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. As Isaiah says. You know, sometimes this promise should help us to appreciate, brethren. It appreciates our Heavenly Father's great yet tender love. protecting love of a father, the tender love of a mother, a nursing child holds a special place in the average household. As we were sitting having lunch, here is Tina's little baby running back and forth. Everybody around us and all the different sitting at the tables, they're all watching. All the eyes are on that little child. A nursing child holds a special place in the average household. It's so true. I always say that when the child is, whoever has a baby and brings it home, they have a new boss now. That boss tells you when you can go to bed. It tells you when you got to get up and how long you can sleep. And so in the father's household, we also hold a special place. A mother does not forget her baby because the child is the center of her life. Other things may be neglected because of the baby, but the baby is not neglected for daily chores. The mother delights to feed, to comfort the child, for even though she might forget, and our Lord says, yet will I not forget thee. A mother's ear is always tuned to her offspring. You've probably seen a mother leave a room for her child while you heard nothing. But she did. And so even the others don't recognize our needs, do they? But the Heavenly Father does. He recognizes our needs. His ear is open to our cry. He knows, He loves, and He cares. I think this morning it was Brother Obi that brought out a scripture where our Lord knows every hair on our head. You know what that tells me? The greatness of our Heavenly Father. The greatness. All the galaxies that are out there, all the stars, and they all have names given. Now, does that describe the greatness of our Heavenly Father? We have no idea the greatness of our Heavenly Father. As we think of God's love for us, we are reminded of a simple truth stated by our Lord Christ Jesus. The Father knoweth what things you have need of. He knows what we need before we ask Him. He often gives, before we call, He gives us, as Apostle Paul expresses, exceeding great abundant above all that we ask or think according to the power that He worketh in us. But that does not mean that we should not pray. No. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Our Heavenly Father knows that we need clothing. Yes, that's true. He supplies it. And at great cost, we wear the beautiful robe of righteousness. Did you ever realize that? That's costly. Very costly. He knows we need food. Yes, that's true. He supplies it. He prepares a table before us. Our cup runneth over. Not of bread alone, no. But before this, we are thankful. But of every word that proceeded from Him. It is not His fault if we go hungry spiritually, is it? No. He knows we need shelter. That's true. Shelter, protection. And He supplies it. He shall cover thee with His feathers, as the scripture says, under His wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be the shield and buckler, because thou hast made the Lord thy refuge, even the Most High thy habitation. There shall not evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I do. Why do you believe it? Because it's true. That's why. How much does the Father love us? He says, behold, He says, I have engraved thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. This, of course, alludes to a custom of marking of the hands, the city of walls and temples, so on in Jerusalem one time, before one made a journey. It was really the start of something very wonderful. But to us it represents that our Heavenly Father will never, never, never forgive us or forget us. He has set us as a seal upon His heart. He is ever mindful for us and our needs. All right, how much does He love us? The prophet records these words, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, He that toucheth you toucheth the apple of His eye." Zechariah 2:8. "He that toucheth you toucheth the apple of His eye." This to me is an assurance of God's protecting care. Just think of what this statement really means. The tenderest part, the most precious part of the body is your eye. And this text always reminds me of Matthew 18:10. "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." The Lord is not pleased if one member despises another, no, or thinks scornfully of his brother, or put a stumbling block into his path. But something it is done, sometimes because of some minor differences, sometimes because of pride, personal pride, ambition, and so on, thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to. And so the ministry of the angel is a great truth. It is serious business to attack anyone who is guarded by his angels. For they do always behold the face of our Heavenly Father. And what is the report that they are making on us? Our actions. "It is good to have God as our Father. For then we have His angels as our angels, ever ready to minister to His children." Hebrews 1:14 reads this way. Hebrews 1:14. "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" Yes. Remember what David said in the 8th Psalm. He said, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast made, what is man that thou art mindful of, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" You and I have been visited with divine favor. We've been called with a heavenly calling. He is mindful of us. He's concerned for us, brethren. And we are favorites of divine providences. It's because we love Him. But He loves us more. And then that great assurance of Scripture that we have found in John 16:27. "For the Father Himself loved you." Why? "Because you have loved me, and I have believed, and I came out from God." Observe what emphasizes are laid upon this. The Father Himself loves us. We owe Christ's merit to God's love for giving His Son. We know, this morning it was mentioned, the attributes. The attributes of God, wisdom, love, power. Think of His power. The universal laws that we have. The sun never collides with the moon or vice versa, or the earth collides with any other universe, any other galaxy. And His power is ours. His keeping power, the power to raise Christ from the dead. Ephesians 1:19-20. Ephesians 1:19-20. Think of His wisdom. The whole plan of the universe expresses it. We have His wisdom to direct our lives, our providences. And as Romans 8:28 tells us, it reads this: "We know that God works all things for our good to those who love Him, the called of God according to His purpose." Think of the justice of God. The great plan that makes it possible for God to be just and yet the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. We as His children, brethren, we enjoy justification before God. We are righteous before God because of His justice. That was a big price. And think of His love. And as we do, we cannot help but say, behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not. Why? Because it knew Him not. That's why. But you know Him. As I had mentioned yesterday, there's a big difference between knowing something about God and knowing God. Yes, 1 John 4:7-18-12 describes as God is love. That's true. But beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. How many times did we study the memorial lessons every year before we partake of the memorial? How many times were asked through Scripture to cleanse the leaven out of our hearts? Do we? A wonderful lesson was presented by Larry last night, and I thought about that. When we partake of the memorial, think of the leaven that we may have that should be cleansed before we partake of the memorial. And that's one of them. Let us love one another. Why? For the love is of God. That's why. Because if we love one another, what happens? God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. But here's another text that describes our Heavenly Father. Not only God is love, but in 1 John 1:5, this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Here is another expression of the absolute nature of God. Not God is light, but simply, absolutely, God is light. And light is truth. And light enkindles our love. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Thus, we know God is love. God is light. And we walk in the light of His Word. The Word of the Lord endured forever. We have a scripture that says it is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light to our path. It has taught us of our Father's love. And so we may say, as the promise said, O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of His praise to be heard, who holdeth our soul in life, and suffered not our feet to be moved. And brethren, we want to praise the Lord. O my soul, all that is within me, we want to praise His holy name. Brethren, when we're going to leave this convention, what are some of the lessons we're going to take home with us? Think about it. Think about it. There are so many lessons that apply to our lives. So many lessons that will help us to grow in grace and knowledge. It'll help us to grow spiritual life, and growth depends on Him. For He is light. He is our light. We mentioned in the book of Ephesians, it was brought to our attention yesterday, and I'd like to bring that to our attention, how important it is. It's Ephesians, the 4th chapter, but let's go a little further. Was mentioned about in the 31st verse of chapter 4 of Ephesians and 32nd. And so we want to grow in grace and knowledge. We want to develop that love for our Heavenly Father, the kind of love that He has for us. In order for us to be part of that eternal life that we're looking for, there are certain steps that we must take. There are certain steps that we must develop. And this is one of them, as I mentioned about the leaven on our hearts. Verse 31 says in chapter 4 of Ephesians, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice." That is difficult to do, isn't it? But we must try. The Lord knows our frame. He knows we could do it. He knows we can express our love. He knows that we have to get rid of our pride that we may have. There are certain things that sometimes we thought that they were right, and we find that we were wrong. I remember about 35 years ago, I gave a discourse one time, and I used 2 points in my discourse to prove the times and seasons. As years went on, those 2 things I tried to prove are gone. They're not here anymore. I had to swallow my pride. I didn't know that much. But we have to change. There are times that we change. We have to. Things are different today than they were 90 years ago. But one of the things that has not changed, and that is to develop our characters, brethren, to make us fit for that everlasting life in the kingdom, to make us fit to be part of the church class. And that is important. And then as it says, verse 32, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other." And Larry talked about forgiveness yesterday in the lesson. "Just as God in Christ has forgiven you." Do we? Here's something else I like. Sometimes it's difficult. And that is in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, starting verse 1. The New York class has been studying the book of Ephesians the last few months. They're also studying the second volume. And Paul says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children." What must we do to be imitators? God's love. God loved us. We love our Heavenly Father. But be imitators. And here's what Paul says. "And walk in love." Verse 2. "Just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." You see that? It is hard, yes. But with the Lord's help, we can do it. We can do it. Paul says, yes, we're formerly in darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And so when we go home from here, we want to walk as children of light. We want to do what the Lord told us to do back in Matthew, the 24th chapter, verse 14. He told us to preach the gospel of the kingdom worldwide. And brethren, we thank thee for your prayers on behalf of the work that goes on. The truth message goes out worldwide. The literature and the booklets are sent out by the thousands each day. Our biggest expense there is the postage. And it's getting higher and higher each day as time goes on. And so, brethren, we want to be imitators of God. You remember what Peter said, "Be ye holy," in the scripture, "for I am holy." We want to do that. So when we leave this convention, what can we take home? What are the lessons? Think about them. Think about the lessons that we can take home. Think about the love the Heavenly Father has for us. I mean, here we are, just common little people. Yet He has showed us the wonderful light. Our Heavenly Father has given us the ability to look into His mind.
we're able to see the wonderful plan of salvation that he has for man, that nobody else in the world has it, but you have it. It's one of the finest gifts that we can possess. No one else has it. Don't lose it. Don't lose it. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Praise his holy name. And may my heavenly Father continue to bless each and every one of you. My prayer on your behalf is that in some way, somehow, we all can be at that marriage supper. May God's Holy Spirit guide you as you leave this convention each day of your lives. Amen.